Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Good morning, everybody. We are back by popular demand. They could not stop us. And as we build up to the spring, Punters Postmortem is back, 13:53:53, taking your calls and your thoughts. Don't forget text messages as well, 0419 767 272. So for all your queries from the weekend, the good runs, the bad runs, the upsets, why it happened, the good rides, the bad rides, let us know. We'll also take you up to Darwin. Yes, it is Darwin Cup Day. 5:55 this afternoon, it will be another edition of the Darwin Cup. If you've never done it, you should do it. It should be on the bucket list. They'll have 20,000 plus people. It is the biggest weekend of the year in the Northern Territory in the Top Bend. It's a hell of a time. Ronnie Duffacy is there. He's been experienced the delights of the Top Bend right over the weekend. We'll chat to him at about 9:40 on this edition of Punters Postmortem. But Paul Joyce joins us on the line as our Sydney expert. G'day, Paul.
Hello, TK. Thank you very much for having me on Punters Postmortem. It was a great day at Randwick, and obviously we've had two big days down in Melbourne, Saturday and Sunday, so keen to hear Dean Lester's thoughts on what's been happening down there.
Have you done a Darwin Cup?
I haven't yet, TK. It is on the bucket list.
Come on.
I had the opportunity a couple of years ago. I had to pull out late, but no, it'll be something I'll do for sure, TK.
Yeah, I can urge everybody who's never been, and plenty of our listeners would have been and experienced a Darwin Cup. It's one great day, and they do a great job. There's no doubt about that. There's 10 races on the program today. Race 9 will be the Darwin Cup at 5:55, and then after the last, they just, the big semi-trailer pulls up on the dirt track out the front of the grandstand, and the band breaks out, and everyone starts dancing. It's one hell of a time. Dean Lester joins us on the line from Melbourne. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK.
You've had runners up there in the Darwin Cup, haven't you?
I have, yes. Yeah, we had Constant Force run there a few years ago, he ran fifth, and I've had a winner on Darwin Cup Day, so it's fond memories.
I can tell you what, if you wanted to go to the podcast, Michael Hickmott joined us earlier on the Big Sports Breakfast. He has three runners. He's already won the Cup on three occasions, Dino. He's got three runners later on this afternoon in the Cup itself, and he's quite confident. He says Unbreakable should be favourite. Now, currently Unbreakable's at $8.50. Now, I don't want to steer anybody into anything, but you can go to the podcast and have a listen to that on our website and make your own mind up. But he's a good judge and he's a very good trainer, Dino.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if he won it with Unbreakable or Leader. They're both going to be good chances, and he knows what it takes, that's for sure.
Yeah, which is good. And it's Dino, you wouldn't have heard it, but I actually put it on him about Aloft, and just to recap this story, Aloft actually came out on Saturday, won a corresponding race that Al Mandon, who then went on to win the Melbourne Cup of 2016, and I sort of said, do you believe that Aloft could actually make the same sort of transition and elevation from winning this race on this particular day than going on and winning on the first Tuesday in November? And Michael was very guarded with what he says.
Yeah, no, he doesn't say much about his brother's work.
No, he doesn't.
But Aloft's already well ahead of Elman because it has been reported a little bit incorrectly. Elman ran last in that race last year.
Oh.
He ran last as favourite and 12 weeks later won a Melbourne Cup. So, Aloft's already one step ahead anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wasn't trying to get Michael into trouble when I asked him. It was just more a sort of talking point, yes, and a point of interest, that's all. But he was quite guarded.
Yeah.
No. And justifiably so. It's a private stable. It's a private sort of setup as he went through. And he doesn't really get involved in his brother's horses so much. But he does a good job up there in the Top Bend. On that, before we get to lots of other runners, give us your opinion then about Aloft.
He was very good. He's been very lightly raced since he's been in Australia, and he's building a good profile. We only saw him twice in the autumn, and he won 1800-metre race, and then he ran well in Sydney, and he kicked off his campaign well here. So, he'll probably go to a race at Moonee Valley in about 3 weeks. I think he ran third in it, actually, last year, but he's probably in better shape for that, and then build towards the Cup. So, he started off well.
Mate, how much would he have to improve, Dino? So at the moment, right, at tab.com.au, Red Cardinal is a $13 favourite. Then you go down to the third line of betting. Our Mandan that won last year is there with Big Duke, Crocodile Rock, Francis of Assisi, which we've seen, Thomas Hobson. And then on the fourth line of betting, we've got Aloft at $26, Ginger Nuts, Hartnell, Exospheric, Big Orange and others. So look, I know it's a long time to go, but how much more improvement would Aloft have to bring to the table?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have thought, having seen El Mandan run last on that day last year, that he'd win a Melbourne Cup 12
Correct.
Weeks later. So,
Correct.
And I was going to the races thinking that he'd win that day. I remember thinking,
okay,
you know, he'd win, and he ran poorly, but they turned him around and got him going. So this horse is already on his way. It's hard to know because he'll get down, he'll try and get him into the, I'd imagine, you know, Lloyd used the Bart Cummings last year because it's a free ticket into the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
And it's a month out, and I think that's the new plan for Lloyd's horses, that they sort of have that last run and then really, you know, drill down, get ready for the Cup, and that's when you'll know where he's at, I think.
Yeah, I've sort of made those, looking to emulate our Mandan, heading to other races. No firm program yet, but the Bart Cummings is on the agenda. Paul Joyce, what did you think of Aloft and that sort of form line through our man and which won the Cup last year?
Yeah, well, as you said, TK, and as Dean just said, it is basically the same form line, so there's no reason he won't get there. And probably the big plus I see with Aloft, he's now had 7 starts on good tracks for 4 wins and 2 placings. So that firm Flemington track that can often bring the Europeans undone, that seems to suit Aloft. So that's one huge box for him that's already ticked. So if we get those dry sort of hard conditions we often see in spring, it won't be a problem for him. It's actually a plus.
Yeah, which will be interesting. And hats off to a workmate of ours, Brad Pengelly, who came up with a 151 winner on the weekend. Nozomi, Dino, Brad found.
Yes, that was an amazing performance. I don't know how, but good on him.
I don't know. I haven't chatted to him.
It was.
I don't know how. I don't know whether it was a misprint or what.
He must have loved that Great Western Cup win for $6,000 back in January. No, in fairness, the horse had been if he'd been watching the recent trials, you'd say, gee, that horse is going well. But then you look at his stats and he'd never won at 1,400. And he's a pretty exposed horse. It's not as though he's a youngster. And he ran right to his recent trials and performed.
When I'm saying hats off to some of our workmates who have been good at the tipping caper, Paul Joyce, I know you were very, very keen on Invincible Gem on the weekend, and Invincible Gem came out and, I've got to say, sort of blitzed them, really, in the Missile Stakes, which is a Group 2, and Invincible Gem was second in the Group 1 round with Guineas.
Yeah, that's right, TK. Look, she was given a peach of a ride by Corey Brown, and the stablemate, Le Romaine, who was the short price favourite, didn't have much luck from an outside gate for Glenn Schofield, but I don't think it would have made a difference. I know I backed Invincible Gem, so I may be a touch biased, but she just blew them away the last 100. Her sectionals were dominant. She was always travelling like the winner. Look, I think she's the real deal, TK. She almost won a Group 1 last trip, basically coming from a maiden into the Randwick Guineas, where she was beaten on the line by inference. And she's come back this prep, I think, even in better shape. And she trialled like she'd come back well. Now she's come to the races and done it. I think she's a Group 1 begging for her this spring. I'm just not sure which one it'll be, but I'll be sticking with her, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, what's her program now?
Yeah, look, I don't think Chris Lee has mapped it out. So I think there's a mare's race in a couple of weeks, but she's obviously going to get hammered with the rating points. So he's just going to maybe reassess where he goes with her. He might just throw her straight into the deep end in the Group 1s, but I don't think anyone would have her knocking off Winx in a fortnight, so that race might be off the cards. But then running second to Winx isn't a bad thing either.
I think the Golden Pendant was the ultimate aim in, what, mid to late September, but it's how she gets there.
Yeah, exactly. And Le Romaine was sort of gallant, sat 3 wide, Paul, and did a really good job.
Yeah, he sure did. Look, he's tough, Le Romaine. He was the proven weight for 8 galloper in that race. And He sat three wide facing the breeze, which wasn't easy. But when you look at his overall record, TK, he's the sort of horse that if he doesn't win, he'll run second. And that's exactly what he did on Saturday. He was obviously a bit soft and underdone first up, so he'll improve off that. His first up stats are always very consistent. But overall now, he's had 19 starts for 6 wins and 9 seconds. So basically, every time he goes out, he's basically going to finish in the Quinella.
Brett Kavanagh's done a good job with the Monstar. Probably would like that rain to continue, but the track improved throughout the day. And, of course, the Monster's a fair dinkum swimmer, so did a good job to run third.
Yeah, it did. Oh, look, I think he's in career best form at the moment.
Yep.
He's really holding his form together. He used to be a bit hit and miss, but not anymore. And obviously, Brett Kavanagh does chase those soft and heavy tracks. And look, it was a soft track looking at the times they were recording on Saturday, and the Monster ran bravely, but he probably doesn't have the class of the top two. At least he definitely didn't have it on Saturday. So I think that's his level, the Monster, and I'm sure Brett Kavanagh will continue to place him well.
Now, Tycoon Tara got the Group 1 victory. That was in the Tats Tiara, which is the final Group 1 of last season. She came out, I thought they maybe went to the... She was going to retire after the Tats Tiara. She had one more run, and... Look, now she's off to retirement.
Yeah, TK, look, she got her Group 1 and the Snowdens did a fantastic job with her since they took her over, basically well into her career and culminated with that Group 1 win, as you said, in the Tats Tiara. Look, she's just developed a habit of missing the start. She's only really done it this campaign. She didn't do it in the Tats Tiara, which is why she managed to win that. But basically, at every start leading into that, she'd missed the start. She did that again on Saturday, and that was the end of her chances. So she's run 6, beaten 5.5.
Yeah.
And as you said, she's off to stud, so she's a 7-year-old mare now. And I'm sure she'll make a lovely broodmare. She was a cracking type to look at. So I'll be very interested in a couple of years to see her yearlings coming through the yard.
Yeah, and hasn't been over-raced either, which is always a plus for a mare when it goes to the breeding barn. What did you make of the Missile, Dino?
She's a progressive mare, isn't
she? Yeah, it was an impressive win.
Yeah, and you look back through the campaign last time in, all but won the Group 1 in the Randwick Guineas, and straight back into form, beating a 3-time Group 1 winner, the stablemate. Plenty to like about her going forward.
Yeah. Mate, yesterday you had a busy weekend. You had Flemington on Saturday. I'll get to that. We've done a little bit with Aloft, but yesterday at Sandown, we know the jumpers are very close to your heart, Dino. We had the Grand National, and Ancient King is tiny. Well, in my eyes.
He's tiny.
Yeah,
he's
tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I wasn't seeing things, was I?
No.
So tiny, but smashed through that final hurdle as well, but won easily for John Allen, who actually won on the flat on Saturday and won over the jumps on Sunday.
Yeah, rode his first Flemington winner on Saturday on Yogi and came out and just gave Ancient King the absolute perfect ride. He was in touch with the speed, got him to relax well enough, and made a really decisive move at about the 600 to just get to the outside and give the horse a bit of room. And from there, he was far too good. He's had a great season, and as you said, he's only tiny,
yeah.
And through the restricted races, he's been carrying big weights. So yesterday, I think he dropped 5 or 6 kilos on some of his recent runs. So that really helped him. And he's a hell horse that ran third in an Italian Derby and was imported to do a lot more than go jumping, but yesterday's first prize of $100,000 of the winner certainly helps get back what they spent on him.
And as often can be the case, I know it's 3,900 metres, Dino and Paul, but you know these races can provide some stirring finishes, and that's what happened in the Crisp Steeplechase yesterday at Sandown. They came down the outside fence, Dean. It was a stirring battle with Wells, the $1.65 chance, getting the cash.
Yeah, it was a magnificent race because he's a tough old horse, Wells. He's a 2-time national winner. He won the Moss Trooper 2 weeks ago, and now he's won a Crisp Steeple. I think he's placed in a national hurdle as well. So he's got a fantastic resume. And a horse called Over the Yardarm, who's over from New Zealand. Mark Brooks is now settled in Melbourne, but he's jumps forms in New Zealand. He really gave him something to chase, and that probably wasn't expected by those that took the short odds, but it ended up a fantastic race, and Wells prevailed. Now he goes to the Grand National Steeplechase, which is what he won last year at Ballarat in 2 weeks' time.
But not only did he give him something to chase, Dean, he actually kicked back.
I did.
At one stage you thought, uh-oh,
$1.65. Well, I think he was in the better ground out wide.
Okay, but they sort of drifted into the middle of the track, didn't they, over the final couple of hundred?
That's it. They were pretty tired by that stage of the race, but Wells just kept going, and he's probably better on a little bit better ground and over the yard arm. Really loved the heavy nine yesterday. So provided a great race.
And of course the feature, well, I guess for you maybe the features were the
realigned feature was
feature was the Bletchingly Stakes and ability.
Seriously, one good horse.
Mate, one like a champion.
Yeah, he's a good horse. The stable and the riders that were dealing with him 2 years ago just were raving about this horse, and it wasn't happening.
Yeah, my question is, where'd he come from?
Yeah.
Where's he been, and what happened to him? I thought must have had an injury or something.
Well, yes, he had an injury, and he was gelded as well.
Right. Injury for you.
Yeah, well, that would be the ultimate for me. But he has always displayed glimpses of talent, but speaking with Robert Smurden, he just said, oh, he's got so much more to give, and that's why they kept sort of aiming quite high with him. But back to basics this time, got him winning, and now they're really reaping the rewards. He was very good yesterday. Lincoln Rupee, I thought Craig Newitt rode him beautifully, just tried to nurse him home first up off such a long break, and he nearly got him home, but he ran well. That was an encouraging return. He's not going to be the horse he was, but he can still match it with at least Group 3, Group 2 grade, I'd say. And Duke of Brunswick, who I thought could win yesterday, he just does a lot wrong, and he battled on okay for third, but ability was too good.
Well, you probably need to see that Bletchingly if you haven't seen it, because I reckon he was last of 10.
Totally out of position.
About 500 to go.
Yep.
And he flew that last 100 and went past Lincoln Rupee, who I said, you said, mate, he's not probably the Lincoln Rupee we know, but...
But given the runs they'd had, because, ability missed the start as well, and the stretch that had got between them by the home turn, Lincoln Rupee had a big lead on ability at that stage.
Yeah. What did you make of the Bletchingly, Paul?
Yeah, I was impressed with Lincoln Rupee, as Dean said. First run back, Craig Newitt, you could see him sitting there getting to about the 300, thinking, I don't want to go too early here because he's not going to be rock-hard fit enough. So he tried to hold him together. Finally went for him, and look, I thought Lincoln Rupee was going very quickly when ability set sail after him, and as you guys said, you never thought he'd get there, but not only did he get there, he got there easily. Lincoln Rupee admittedly would have been getting tired, but he wasn't stopping. I mean, they put a bit of a gap on the third horse, so huge win by ability, great return by Lincoln Rupee. You could follow both of them through the spring, I think, and you come out in front.
What happens with ability now, Dino?
Yeah, I think Robert Smurden probably up in the air because they started the campaign at 78 grade and just wanted to try and get the horse winning and get him confident. Well, they've achieved that. It's whether you go on now to, we've got Group 3 sprint races in the next few weeks, or do you freshen up and get ready for, like Melbourne Cup week? There's a Group 2 sprint on Derby Day, something like that. And his ability to run down the straight, I think... The long term, if I owned him, I'd be looking at something like the Newmarket in about 8 months, 7 months' time, long term.
Okay.
But how they get there ultimately, whether in the here and now they try and rack up another couple of wins or they do target Cup Week and the main carnival.
I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously maybe getting a bit carried away with how impressive ability was, but would it not be a candidate
in the Everest?
Wouldn't it not be if I'm waiting? If I'm keeping my powder dry, you want to try and get the hot horse at the time.
Well,
what do you think? Am I overestimating ability? The ability of ability?
No, because he's very effective on dry ground too. But ticking that box on heavy ground yesterday might be a plus. Who knows what will be served up at Everest time? So I don't know. I hadn't even thought of that. But you've got to, I suppose, with these horses, don't you?
Dino. How good are you travelling when you don't think about a $10 million race and a $6.5 million payday if you win?
It's going to disrupt my Caulfield Guineas day, but it's going to be fun.
You'll keep an eye on everything.
Oh, it'll be fun.
As we all will.
Sure.
As we all will. Just adds to the quality of the day, really.
I agree.
What do you make, Paul?
And you'd have to sort of go through his figures and see where he stacks up against the likes of Chautauqua and co., but... Dean makes a good point. We're guessing this far out that Randwick's going to be a softies track come October. It usually is, but it may not be. So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, and a lot of these horses that have taken slots, they're not even back trialling yet.
That's what I'm saying. You're saying you're taking that it might be a rain-affected track or whatever, or a softish sort of track or not on top of the ground, but we don't know whether any of these horses are going well.
That's exactly right. So people that have locked their slots in, I've spoken to plenty of people out of the races that are deliberately holding back nominating their slots at horse because they want to wait and see and do it as late as possible. So, you know, there are a lot of horses floating around on the fringe of an Everest start, horses like Speed and these sort of 1,200-metre top-class gallopers. So ability would have to be knocking on the door now, at least.
Yeah, I would say so too. I thought I saw a pretty good three-year-old filly on the weekend, Dino. Crown Witness.
She's a beauty.
Yeah, that was a pretty highly competitive race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They ran good time. We know Medinity. She's a good fast filly, and
she was good.
Yeah, she was good. That's her. She's just a jump and run, probably benchmark sort of filly. But Crown Witness, she trialled really well before her first run, but she was getting very keen in her trials. But race day, she's really put it together well. Two wins from her two starts, and well, she's up and going and really fit. I think the Quizette Stakes Saturday week at Caulfield, she can go to stakes grade and run really well.
Yeah. And then maybe just, you know, because it's that stage, isn't it, where you've had the well-performed two-year-olds who've got to come back out and try and do it all at three, where they just early comers who are impressive, and will they transition to that older age, or do you just stick with a newcomer in the three-year-old ranks? And certainly she appears to be the latter, you know, where there's plenty of maybe taking a bit more time and has got plenty of upside.
Yeah, I think you can, you know, really trust this form because, as you said, Medinity had good two-year-old form. The third filly, Shadow Griffo, ran well in a Blue Diamond preview and ran well on Saturday. She just got bumped around mid-race. I thought her effort was fine. But, yeah, there's plenty to like about Crown Witness. And, Stuart Webb after the race wasn't trying to hide her talent. He said she's been the best horse in the place for a while. So that's an encouraging sign.
And he's only down to a smaller stable now, Dean?
Yeah, he had a lot of horses in late 90s, early 2000s, and it was probably just too much for him, to be honest.
Okay.
And
did you have any horses with him at one stage?
I had one horse. We actually.
I always think you were a really good rap for him, weren't you? I remember.
He did a very good job. Yeah, we had a horse we bought off Guri actually called Authoritarian that we won a few with, and he was offered a job about 10 years ago with the Roberts Murden stable, being assistant trainer, and it wasn't to be training any of his own. It was just to be working for Robert. And over the last 4 or 5 years, when he got Yosei and won those Group 1s, it was sort of branched out that he's now one of the he's still assistant trainer at Roberts, but he's one of the trainers for Aquanita as well.
Right. Mm. Yeah, so
he's got I think he's probably got about 15 or 20 of his own.
Right, so he trains the 15 of his own.
Yep.
And then he still is
he's
the
still
assistant trainer for Robert.
With Robert, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good. It
just got to.
Works very well for them.
Yeah, well, hasn't hurt Robert, has it?
No.
I mean, he's flying, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's got something like, I think his last 14 city runners, he's had 9 winners or something. It's ridiculous, the stat he's produced in the last month or two.
Yeah, which is good. Mate, I guess the other good winner, well, they're all good if you find them, Rhythm Despair down there, which I think punters found fairly well, was about $9 into $7.50.
Yeah, look, he found his right race, right scenario. He's one of those horses that just lines up in these races every couple of weeks, and he bobs and wins a race every preparation, and Saturday was his day to do exactly that. Amavasio chased him well, ran an honest race.
Yeah,
it was a good speed race. Magnapel at 100-1 run third, first start for a new stable, and I thought the really good run in this race, it was a hard luck story, was Like a Day. This horse is ticking over very well. He didn't have a lot of luck first up. I think he was going to dart through and nearly run a place on Saturday, and he just ran out of room.
Mate, I remember at one stage thinking good things about Hippicus, but sort of probably spec'd it on the weekend, but didn't really do anything.
Yeah, I did the same. I thought he did enough first up, and Dwayne Dunn aboard, maybe ridden a little bit close to the speed for him, but clutching at straws a bit.
Yeah. Let's say disappointing, eh?
Yeah, and Amrullah out the back, very rusty, his first day back at the track
for
nearly 2 years. Whether he's missed his chance at winning a Melbourne Cup because it looked all set up for him to win 2 years ago, when he couldn't take his place in the field.
Yeah, that's a shame, wasn't it? So at least back at the track. It's 9:30. This is the opening spring edition of Punters Postmortem. It's lovely to be back with Dean Lester from Melbourne and Paul Joyce in Sydney. We're going to take your calls on 13:53:53 now after chatting about some of the events over the weekend, and then we'll take you up to the Top End in Darwin for a preview of the Darwin Cup with the, well, I don't think he's ever been home, has he? Ronnie Duffacy. Eventually, he's sort of got to come back to making a living, you would imagine.
This is Punters Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Let's get to the open line on Punters Postmortem. Paul Joyce is our Sydney expert. Congrats to him. He found Invincible Gem. He was really keen on it on the weekend. And also Dean Lester is our Melbourne expert. We'll go up the top of the board and start with Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, mate.
TK, save me me heroes and villains for this show.
Yeah, why not?
Because the hero's Dean Lester.
Ah.
Best in the business, mate, by far. Taking nothing away from Joyce, you'll find your value, but Dean Lester found Journey Girl yesterday.
What price was Journey Girl yesterday? I missed that.
50 to 1.
Yeah.
Great. Did you tip it on top, Dino?
No, I only tipped it second, TK.
Well done,
tipped it second, but you're going to stand up and take notice if you pick it for second, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other hero is Ladbrokes for giving me the odds boost of $67.
Beautiful, even better.
And Written Era got up as well. And I guess my villain out of that is Glenn Munsey in the TAB, because you can't beat the odds that Ladbroke give.
Well, there you go, Andrew. You can bet with whoever you like. You know that. It's a free country out there. 13:53:53, and we can't even blame Glenn. He's not here currently, but we can still blame him. Okay.
Geez, the TAB were betting great odds the place on some of those horses yesterday.
Were they?
Yeah. Way over the quarter, which was fantastic.
Well, so you don't see that often anymore, do you?
No, it was the big fields, and they were betting fantastic odds yesterday, and absolute credit to them.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's keep taking calls. Hi, Kurt. Good morning.
How you going, Terry?
Good, Kurt.
That's the way.
Have you missed us, Kurt?
Sorry, mate?
Have you missed Punters Postmortem?
Oh, well, you said it was off for a couple of weeks, so I didn't tune in. I tuned in every week, but it was never on, so no, I went all right.
We're back, mate.
Hey, boys, can I just say, mate, ever since that horse got gelded, I've been talking about it to everyone, and they all got on at a beautiful price yesterday, mate. I'm just wondering, down there in Melbourne, have they thought now, you know, better than a good horse?
Which one, mate? Are you talking about ability on Saturday, not yesterday? On Saturday, yeah.
Yesterday, Sunday.
No, I think everyone's pretty well aware he's a good horse. He was good odds yesterday because it was an open race, but he's doing it beautifully.
Four and a half kegs more, Dino, on the heavy nine. Far out, that was a good effort.
Well, that's why I tipped Duke of Brunswick, because he met him 3.5 better, but it didn't matter. Ability's a better horse.
Yeah. Can I also say, Dino, mate, have you been paying attention to Goodwood lately?
No, I haven't, Kurt. I'm very remiss of me, really.
Oh, Dean, mate, there is so many great horses. I can't remember a Goodwood Carnival this good. I mean,
which one's coming to Melbourne, though, Kurt?
No, but I was going to say, like, that bloke down there in Melbourne that looks at horses to recruit down there, he must be having a ball, mate.
He's over there.
Good horses, Dino.
Yeah, he's over there, Lee Jordan.
Is he?
Yep.
Mate, there's this horse, Dino, called Batash, easily the contender. What's that girl, that horse's name, Lady Aurelia?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, from one at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, yep. This thing will be beating it in the next major. What a horse, boys. Anyway, Dino, can I just ask you about two horses?
Righto.
I'm ready. Esperance and Bella Martini. You know, they're just taking it as it comes.
I think everyone's onto Esperance. There's some ratings experts think it was the best run of the current group of early season three-year-olds. So he was outstanding in winning at Echuca for Godolphin. And Bella Martini, won by a big margin at the Geelong Synthetic. Ran very slow time, but has certainly got good, nice ability. But yeah, stick with Esperance. It's a star in the making, I think.
Good on you, Kurt. We do nice to have you back on board, Kurt, with Punters Postmortem. We've got another one for Dino, I think. Hi, Peter.
Hi, TK. It's your mate Peter from Scone. How are you?
Good, Pete from Scone.
Hey, how are you, mate? All right?
Good, good, good.
Just letting you both know, the horse Brisbane was actually on fire on Saturday.
I saw that. You've sent me a text.
Yes, I sent that to you. He tipped us Nozomi there. It used to be with Godolphin. Now the Freemans have got it.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony and Lee have got it.
Yeah, they've always had it. 150-1. They've always
correct,
had it.
Correct, correct,
yeah.
Correct.
Have they?
We were on that, and that Invincible Gem was another one.
You've had another. Mate, hey, Pete. Do you ever leave anything in the till? Like, you're always winning.
Well, you know, Munzee owes us, mate, but he gets a lot too, you know that.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He gets a lot too. I just wanted to say, I also got one for you today, Darwin. I would like to know what you think of its chances would be today. Yeah. So it's in race 8, Darwin. I think it's called Kadif or Kadaf. Kifaf, that's the one.
Kifaf.
Race 8.
Look, budget cuts have now struck, right? So the big sports breakfast, not in Darwin.
Yeah, well, you don't get all the good mail that we used to get.
So I haven't done the mail on Darwin.
Well, it's a $4.40 chance with tab.com.au, second favourite.
Yeah. See, it's going to be in the market, isn't it?
There you go, mate. I've tipped one on the big sports breakfast before, and the one on the Punters Postmortem. There you go.
So you rung up to find out about it. Now you're tipping it.
I wanted to know if he's got it in his. Lester's got it in his book, but he probably hasn't, or he probably has. I don't know. He won't let us know anyway.
Do you ever bet at Darwin, Dino?
Only if I've ever had a runner there, TK.
Yeah.
I'm sort of known for doing Victorian form more so.
I would think so. Yeah.
I think Gately gave it a. Only a chance on the weekend in the best bets.
Pengelly tipped it on. Adam tipped it on top.
Yeah.
He tipped it on top at $151.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I heard some punters on sports bet got $203 because of that boosting, which doesn't matter. I only bet with a Jolly Green Giant anyway.
Well, there you go. Good on you, Pete. Yeah, we do. Man. Thank you for your call, mate. Hopefully your winning form continues, and we're going to take you up to the top end and have a chat with Ronnie Duff. See, if I did say there were 10 races at Darwin today, there's only 9 races, and guess what? 9 races are enough.
Yes.
Because the last one's at 5:55, and it is the Darwin Cup to finish the meeting. It has been a long weekend. I wonder how our little fat bloke's travelling.
He went to the dogs. Yes. He hashtagged it with bucket list. He went to the Darwin Dogs last night and filled up on the cup winner, evidently.
Look, he posted a photograph of the boxes at the Darwin Dogs.
Yeah.
But
reckon he went?
Did he actually declare that he went?
He just got that off Google Images or something.
This is a bloke who'd go to London and not go to Royal Ascot. And now he's gone to the Darwin Dogs.
Might have been a free drink in it.
It's a very good point. Very good point. Before we get up there and have a chat to Ronnie Duffy, just a couple of other things coming out of that Randwick meeting. We chatted at length, Paul, about Invincible Gem, which got the job done. Stain was very, very impressive, very well backed. It's 5 wins, what, in now 8 starts.
Yeah, that's right, TK. Peter and Paul Snowden placing this horse really well, and again, perfectly placed on Saturday with basically 51.5 after the claim for Andrew Adkins. And look, he was the winning apprentice in the city last season, and no surprise he produced an absolute pearl of a ride there on Stain, who was the unlucky runner at the start before, and look, dominant 2-length winner in the end, but definitely the ride helped. And you've got a progressive horse there bumping into horses that were at their level, and when you're doing form for benchmark races, they're the ones, you know, that you really want to look for, aren't they? And Stain got the job done and very, very well supported to start at $3.30.
Yeah, no doubt. That was 1,600. I think they're thinking about stretching him out to 2,000.
Yeah, look, the way he won on Saturday, he was very strong through the line. He seems to settle and relax okay in his races. I think that's the key with him. He is a schnitzel. So whether or not that they can get him out any further, I wouldn't be desperate to stretch him out. I think he's a very good miler, and I'd be keeping him at that, but the Snowden's no better than me.
Okay, we're going to find out what happens. We mentioned that he's up there in Darwin. Geez, he'd be sweating up. It's a top temperature of 31 today is the prediction for Darwin Cup Day, and I'm glad to say Ronnie Duffacy joins us online. G'day, Ronnie.
G'day, guys.
How is this your first Darwin Cup?
No, I've been to Darwin a couple of times, but first one in about 15 years.
Wow. Now, how have you found it? You did the ball I saw on Saturday night?
First ball I've done, and that's an amazing thing. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
That's just a world-class event, that, and they do it so well. I got the shock of my life. They let the firecrackers off, and then the show begins, and everyone just, before you know it, it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens. They're not firecrackers, mate. They're fireworks.
Yeah,
firecrackers are the little Tom Thumbs you used to throw at people, right? They're fireworks.
Exactly.
Now, it is a good event, isn't it? 3,000 people under the stars, black tie. How'd you finish at 3 a.m.?
Pretty good. I had a good sleep in.
Yeah.
And we went to the dogs last night.
Did you actually go?
Yeah, it was an enormous night. They packed it out. It was cup night. The cup was worth $35,000. Radley come along and Bernie was there. We all went along. It was great fun.
Well, well done, well done.
We got a set of tips off the battler. He found the cup winner, so it was good, $9.
There you go. Now, what happens today, mate? What's the plan?
The plan is to get out there. I've tried to do the form. I'm sort of foreign. I'll be led by the expert there, Andrew O'Toole. He's the local expert.
He's very good, actually.
Yep, hopefully, because I'll do a little bit of form and ask his opinion and get him ticked off by him prior to opening my mouth and making an idiot of myself. Because I hardly know these horses, TK, but
yeah.
We'll give it a go.
Well, the good thing is, mate, and we always like to say this, the good jockeys are there. You've got Pikes up there. He's riding the current favourite at tab.com.au on Fixed Odds Leader, which is a $4.20 chance. Hickmont's got three runners in it. We chatted with him this morning, mate, and Michael said Unbreakable should be the favourite. Unbreakable's now into $6. I think it was $8.50 earlier on this morning.
Okay, what did he say happened to it last start? Just second up syndrome.
He said second up syndrome. He said, don't worry about it.
Second up form.
Yeah. You can actually, if you want to hear him, you can go to our podcast at bigsportsbreakfast.com.au and you'll be able to hear him. But he was quite, you know, he thinks all these three runners will run well, but he thinks Unbreakable is over the odds.
Yeah, well, all the locals up here want to tell you this top weight's going as well as ever.
Royal Request?
Yeah, he's a well-exposed seven-year-old, but they say his recent form is as good as any of his form throughout his career. So, look, I was copping the tip with him. The horse that jumped out at me in this race, at the odds, it was $26, I think, with Tab last night. It's a horse called Harab's Time, number seven. He's got terrific form at this track.
$17.
He's 17 to 17 now. Yeah, that'd be more like it. But his form's okay around this Royal Request, and I just like the timing of it—a 1200, a 1300, a mile, and bang, first time at 2000 metres. I just thought he might do something, and I was marking him way over the odds there.
It's funny you say most of these horses are well exposed. Well, that's why they're in Darwin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this horse has won seven races here. He's only, you know, and he's only had 28 starts, and he's got barrier one. And like I said, form around the top weight. I just thought I was looking at the markets yesterday, I'm sort of trying to work out why he was that price.
Okay. And did you go to the sprint, the Palmerston sprint on Saturday?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that was a good day out. Like I say, it's not as big as today, obviously. They had a nice crowd there, and I think they had a pretty good day. But the infield will open today, and it'll be party central, TK.
I saw you sweating up under the armpits there on Saturday. Be careful.
If you don't sweat here, you've got a problem.
All right. Dino, Paul, anything for Duff?
No, I'm just taking note of Harrop's time there off Duff. Not often you get a $19 tip, so I'll be having something small on it for sure.
All right. Dino, do you want any advice for Duff up there?
No, he's done well to survive so far. Just keep at it.
All right. So take us through your top three for the Darwin Cup.
I'll say the one on top.
Yep. Royal Request.
I'll say seven, Seren Harab's Time's the danger.
Yep.
And then they say the three-year-olds struggle to win this Darwin Cup. They really, so Bill Adu's in a bit of trouble, but in saying that, a lot of people saying this is not the strongest cup we've ever had. It's not a strong race at all. So maybe that three-year-old comes into play. And then obviously you've got to bracket those Hickmont runners because he's just a master at peaking on the right day. So we'll try and assess his three runners in the yard there. So look, I'm saying 1-7-12 and then the bracket of the Hickmont runners.
Okay, 1-7-12 for Ronnie. And, mate, from the weekend, obviously keeping an eye on Sydney, did anything really stick out for you?
Not really. We're just starting to warm up now. It was great to see that, you know, Invincible Gem return. Like, she was just come of age at the end of last preparation, and her turn of speed there late was, you know, she come back big time. So I think it's from here on in, it's going to be looking at the trials, trying to catch up a little bit. It's we're in for a great next, you know, couple of months with the spring coming up.
And, Ronnie, did you see the win of Ability yesterday in the Bletchingley?
I did. What a turn of speed that was. Maybe he was helped by that rain coming earlier in the day, being the fifth horse in the race. But, you know, to give that much start and round them up like that, it was certainly an eye-opener.
And, mate, when I, you know, I sort of floated that could it be the sprinter with the hot hand come the Everest? Is that too rich a race?
Yeah. Well, I suppose a lot of these horses are going to improve. You know, it's a long campaign if you're going to go that far through. But, you know, I'm not saying no. It'd be nice to have another look at it, but it's done a pretty good job this prep.
Yeah, well, some of them won't improve the others either. Yeah. You would have to think good. All right, mate, I'll let you go and get made up. When are you on air?
Look, I'll just chime in with little comments through the day. I don't want to sort of jump in on anyone's territory. So I think the preview, with Andrew and Greg and Munns is about, I think, 11 o'clock or 11:30 Sydney time.
Okay, we're going to have scratchings at 10 o'clock with Sean Cosgrove as well. But stay listening. Andrew O'Toole, really good judge coming out of Darwin. Mate, it's a great day. It's a long day, though, Duff. It'll be a hot day, so have a great day.
Good on you.
Are you back? When are you back?
I'm back on tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And when do you when do you strike a blow as far as work?
Well, obviously Saturday morning I'll catch up with the form during the week and we'll be ready to go by Saturday.
Yeah, obviously Saturday.
Do you remember
morning.
Where you live?
Yeah.
Hope it's still standing.
You know what Darwin's got in common with Rome?
The temperature.
Off you go. Thank you.
I'm seasoned.
Not much, I thought was the reply. Thank you to Ronnie Duffacy there. 9:51 currently on Punters Postmortem. Paul Joyce and also Dean Lester joining us from Melbourne. We're taking your calls. Any of the queries you have for the boys, we can get in our teeth into. Hello, Bruce.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, Bruce.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, look, last Saturday week at race 7 at Gosford, I don't know if you're aware of it, but a horse by the name of Cellarmaster won the race. It was then disqualified because it was a rating of 75 in a class 5, I think, in a class 2 race. I own a horse by the name of Sir Magic. We ran second, and now we're declared as the winner. However, we miss out on all that good fun. I got my wife there to the races, which was a bit of a special event. I had to buy her a drink. But I'm more concerned about the punters. Who do you think might be responsible for the
stuff up? Do you mean who's responsible for the stuff up?
Well, we know who's responsible for the stuff up. It's Racing New South Wales because they've already fined Chris Waller. You ready for this? $200 for the mistake.
Joycey, do you have an opinion there? I'm not across this story.
Who's going to pay the money? So I assume you mean for the runner-up, to back the runner-up, but under the rules of racing, if the horse is disqualified, it's the prize money goes to the owners, not the punning money to the second horse. And look, I've got to say it was an extremely unusual circumstance because Cellarmaster had only won one race, so everyone assumed you could run in a class 2, but because that one race was a listed race in Brisbane, it actually counts as putting you into a class 5 bracket. Now, I've never heard that, and I wouldn't have expected it, but someone's obviously found out after the race, and yes, it should have been picked up beforehand, and Racing New South Wales are putting in protocols to make sure it doesn't happen again, but it's one of those very unusual things. I'd never seen it, and I'd never even heard of that being the case, that if you want a listed race, you're automatically a class 5 horse. I didn't even know about it, so it was news to me, that's for sure.
Okay. Dino, was it something you were aware of?
Well, I didn't know of the circumstance of this situation, but yes, I knew of that rule. But I actually had a horse that came under it once, but because we've gone ratings based, you forget the old rules of the class system a little bit. And but yeah, there should have been checks and balances. And you know, it's unfortunate for Chris Waller, unfortunate for you guys that ran second, but Racing New South Wales, you'd think something would have gone off when the entry went in.
Well, Bruce, I can only hope that there's more victories in store.
Yes.
For Sir Magic, and you and your family are going to get to enjoy that, but enjoy the check or the electronic transfer when it happens into the bank account, because at least you do get paid. This comes in on text message. Hi, men. If no one has it been determined what races Ginger Nuts and Jon Snow are targeting, Nikki from Newey. Do you know, Dino?
Which one, sorry, TK?
Ginger Nuts and Jon Snow.
Caulfield John. Cup, I think, is my name. And I heard a report with Ginger Nuts that they're worried about his condition, whether he could cope with much racing, and he was only going to have two runs leading into the Caulfield Cup. But after a recent trial, they're probably going to give him three runs, and it might all be in New Zealand before he comes over.
All right, so, well, he's a $15 chance, yeah, Dino. He's the equal top along with Hartnell, Humidor.
Yeah, and I haven't heard when Jon Snow ventures across, but that was the thing with Ginger Nuts, a pretty low-key preparation and then into the Caulfield Cup.
So we've got Ginger Nuts, Hartnell, Humidor for the Caulfield Cup, all at $15. Bonville at
Hartnell 8. Hartnell trialled Friday at Flemington.
Yeah. What did you think?
Hard to see. He was in the fog. Wasn't ideal. He looked well, though. We saw him in the middle of the track. He looked terrific, but, yeah, not much to see yet.
Just a trivia question, mate. How many Group 1s would Hartnell have, has Winks cost Hartnell?
Five, six?
Yeah, something like, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You just, I mean, Haylist could have that sort of
record with Black Caviar.
Record, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the era you're born in, TK.
So too Buffering.
Yes, very true.
I mean, Buffering got the revenge late.
At the end, he got that real run on, didn't he?
Yeah, but I'm sure it was at least four.
Well, he was behind, Black Caviar and photoed out of the Newmarket by Haylist. So, yeah, he ran into both of them. He had the double whammy.
Yeah, so just going through that. Ginger Nuts, Hartnell, Humidor, $15. Bonville, $18. Egg Tart, can't wait to see her back, $18. Jon Snow, $18. Ruffin at $18 there. That's just early betting for the Caulfield Cup.
She's the one I'd be wary of, Caulfield Cup-wise. Listening to Chris Waller, it's sort
Egg
of...
Tart.
Yeah, Egg Tart would be more Epsom bound, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe the Meyer and more low key, not taking it to 2400 again this season.
So more the Winks.
Well, without Winks. Running into Winks in the Cox Plate, maybe just the the Epsom and the and the Meyer. So I think she's if you watched her Queensland Oaks win, you'd say, gee, she's a good Caulfield Cup chance. I'd just be a little bit wary at this stage. Just watch how the first couple of runs unfold.
I sound like Curti. What about Francis of Assisi? Have you heard how he's going?
Don't hear much about Godolphin.
Nah.
Full stop at the moment. Don't know if there's any spokesman left. I've heard through the Melbourne Racing Club that they're confident that he'll be Caulfield Cup bound, that he's the real Caulfield Cup horse.
You're right. Okay. All right. Just a little bit of information. Joycey, mate, if we can, have you got one for us to follow?
I'll give you two to follow, TK.
Even better, mate. Let me get my pen. Yep.
We didn't touch on either of these earlier, but they both won at Randwick on Saturday, and I know it's obvious following winners, but I do think they'll win again. Shogun Sun, who won the opening race there on Saturday, beating some boom three-year-olds in Brave Song, and in particular Addictive Nature. He ran the fastest last 200 metres of the day, so that was better than all the older sprinters later on. He may have copped the best bit of the track, but I thought it was a super win by the Queenslander. Yep. So stick with Shogun Sun wherever they go with him. I think he's going to add some real interest to our big three-year-old races early in the season here. Then the second race, the horse of Chris Leeds, is called Wangwa. She charged home over the top of them. That was her first go at 1,800. And to me, she hit the line like she'd be crying out for 2,000-plus. So I think she's a stayer that's also got the ability to have a turn of foot. And when you get those two combinations together, they tend to put a few wins on the trot. So stick with Wangwa out of race two. And stick with Shogun Sun. I think he could be a real surprise packet in our three-year-old race.
And State and the Bleaton, obvious. Gee, she sits well, doesn't she, Rachel King? So that was on Wangwa as well, which was a nice cruisy victory. Dino, you got one for us?
I mentioned her earlier, Shadow Griffo. I wouldn't drop off her from Saturday. I think she's a good filly still. And I also mentioned Like a Day out of race 7. He's ready to win a race.
Like a Day out of race 7, and then yep. Shadow Griffo are your two. And as I mentioned before, Ronnie Duffacy, just going back to the Darwin Cup, as I go back there, his numbers were...
One.
Well, where am I?
Seven, was it?
Hold on. Sorry, mate. Raw request he put on
yep.
top.
Yep.
Value-wise, Hareb's Time, which is $17. One from number seven, Hareb's Time,
yep.
into number...
Didn't he have a bracket of the Hickmont?
All the Hickmont runners yeah. there, the three Hickmont runners. And Michael joined us earlier on this morning. He gave Unbreakable. He said, well, Unbreakable, he thought, should be the favourite. So bookmakers have got that wrong. Nice to be back, guys. Thanks, Dino.
Pleasure, TK. Good to be back.
I think Ronnie will be back. Joycey, always good to have you on board, mate.
No, always willing to jump in and fill the seat when Ronnie's holidaying around the world or Australia, guys. Thanks for having me.
Which is often, Paul.
Yeah, it is. No, it's nearly a full-time gig. Thanks.
All right, stay tuned too. We've got the rest of race day coming up with Sean Cosgrove, and now Kristen Fard is coming up with the news and the sporting headlines. It's 10 o'clock.